This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Well, great in the sense of consequential. It is a big day where President Biden made his most formidable effort to date to try to explain his decision-making and his thinking, such as it is, on Afghan policy. I happen to believe that the speech that he just delivered was a hash. It was, as people say, a word salad, literally repeating the same passages again and again. But I am very eager to hear your response, because one of the things you think about when you listen to a speech like this that has been carefully prepared, I am sure he had speechwriters and staff and his foreign policy advisors and others who were up late at night trying to prepare this thing, trying to figure out what he was going to say. And basically, if I were to summarize the whole thing, clearly the one message that came across here is the war is over, I ended it, and it's a good thing that it ended. And this was wise and the right decision, and he's emphasizing that because he knows most Americans agree with him on that. I mean, the polling, it's fascinating to me because if you look at different polls, the polling is contradictory. Americans are very torn on this. A majority of Americans think that it's a good thing to bring the troops home from Afghanistan. But then there are other Americans now who, in view of the terrorist attack and the threat of new terrorist attacks and the threat of Afghanistan again as a basis for new terrorist attacks, who say it would have been better for us to have left a small contingent and maintained the status quo in Afghanistan. Russ Douthat, who has been a conservative and a supporter, initially at least, of the Afghan decision to go to war from President Bush, that Russ Douthat has a powerful piece that was posted on the website of New York Times today, maybe in anticipation of this speech, basically indicating that the people who are criticizing President Biden and have criticized him all along, and that's not just Republicans, though of course it is principally the Republicans, Russ Douthat says that their arguments have been as discredited as Biden's own arguments. I don't believe that's true. We're trying to get Russ on the show, but we will see and hope to do that. And we'll cover some of his arguments in his columns. Let's go back to the very beginning of Joe Biden's speech today, the August 31st speech. Why is that an important date? Because that was the date he set for evacuating everybody from Afghanistan, the same way that I would imagine he will make another important speech on September 11th and maybe have another try at trying to line up the American people behind him. I don't think he's going to succeed in that. But this was not a triumphant speech, even though he tried to see some good sides in what our military had achieved at tremendous cost of 13 lives, what our military had achieved in the way of evacuating human beings and saving lives. Here was the beginning of the president's speech just moments ago. Listen.
Extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals. For weeks, they risked their lives to get American citizens, Afghans who helped us, citizens of our allies and partners and others on board planes and out of the country. And they did it facing a crush of enormous crowds seeking to leave the country. And they did it knowing ISIS-K terrorists, sworn enemies of the Taliban, were lurking in the midst of those crowds. And still, the women and men of the United States military, our diplomatic corps, and intelligence professionals did their job and did it well, risking their lives, not for professional gains, but to serve others, not in a mission of war, but in a mission of mercy. 20 service members were wounded in the service of this mission. 13 heroes gave their lives. I was just at Dover Air Force Base for the dignified transfer. We owe them and their families a debt of gratitude we can never repay, but we should never, ever, ever forget.
That's the president this morning. He went on to talk about his own decision-making back in April. This is clip two.
In April, I made a decision to end this war. As part of that decision, we set the date of August 31st for American troops to withdraw. The assumption was that more than 300,000 Afghan national security forces that we had trained over the past two decades and equipped would be a strong adversary in their civil wars with the Taliban. That assumption that the Afghan government would be able to hold on for a period of time beyond military drawdown turned out not to be accurate. But I still instructed our national security team to prepare for every eventuality, even that one. And that's what we did. So we were ready when the Afghan security forces, after two decades of fighting for their country and losing thousands of their own, did not hold on as long as anyone expected. We were ready when they and the people of Afghanistan watched their own government collapse and the president flee amid the corruption and malfeasance, handing over the country to their enemy, the Taliban, and significantly increasing the risk to U.S. personnel and our allies.
What's fascinating to me is it's as if these Afghan allies, people like Ashraf Ghani, the president, or Abdullah, who is currently negotiating with the Taliban, they are hoping for some kind of coalition government, which the Taliban had never agreed to during all the time, and it was more than a year that President Trump was trying to negotiate with them, and during the time that they've been approached and tried to have negotiations with the Biden administration. But the fact is that the Afghan people will hear this speech, and it does seem like scapegoating. It does seem like, okay, well, we're going to blame Ashraf Ghani because the president fled. Would it have helped the situation if he had been taken prisoner and tried and then executed? Which, again, is not certain. Nobody knows how the Taliban are going to act. I mean, one of the things that Walter Russell Mead was speculating about in the Wall Street Journal today, major foreign policy scholar, is the likelihood of a truly bitter civil war, a new civil war, not between the Taliban and the elements of the Afghan government, but between the Taliban and ISIS. And then he talks about, proudly, talks about his ordering more troops to Afghanistan and the whole process and commitment about getting other people out. There's also a portion that you haven't heard yet where he very specifically blames Trump for everything that went wrong and takes credit himself for actually this airlift, which was a gigantic and Herculean effort. I think we have an aircraft called the Hercules, but this is... This is one of those things. The president is trying to get people to feel proud of the fact that we got most of the people out, that we had promised to get every single one. We didn't. And he tries to explain that people who are left behind in Afghanistan largely have family ties in the country. Does that make it better or worse for them to be stuck there? We will get to all of this. And then what the president says lies directly ahead. That and more coming up on the Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. Will socialism or free markets decide the future direction of Washington State? Washington Policy Center stands for free markets and market-based solutions, but we can't do it alone. Hear from the acclaimed CEO of Whole Foods and free market champion John Mackey, who calls capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished. And join him October 1st at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency. Tickets and information at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com. Introducing MedHead Plus, where you get all the benefits of regular MedHead members, plus you get access to anything in our MedVet History Store downloaded for free. Existing MedHead members can upgrade to MedHead Plus with a cost of only $79 per year. And for the next 30 days, new members can also join for $79 a year. MedHead Plus, get it all. Go to michaelmedved.com, find out about the new sale right now on MedHead Plus membership.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
The president did not take questions after his speech, but his press spokesman, Jen Psaki, is taking questions right now. Let's listen in, see if there's any substance there from the White House press room. This is Jen Psaki. Listen.
And the other diplomatic components that our Secretary of State will be focused on include establishing a presence in Doha, which is already underway, which is a place where we will be able to operate from diplomatically. So we can have access with consular officers and diplomats who can engage with American citizens or others, our Afghan partners who want to depart. we're working to set that up now. The other piece is engagement with the Taliban, which will continue through our ongoing channels that we have with the Taliban on the diplomatic front. The other piece of this, which is very important, is operational, which is opening the airport and regional airports, and also ensuring that there is overland travel that is possible, which means departing, being able to leave across borders. And the president touched on this in his statement. On the airport front, the more specific piece we're working on with the Qataris and the Turks, who are important partners here, is getting the civilian side of the airport up and operational again, so that we can use that not just for flights for people to depart, but also for humanitarian assistance, which we will work through programs like the World Food Program and others to distribute. So there are a number of channels. This is a priority the Secretary of State will be leading. They'll continue to provide updates, and we're hoping to make progress in the coming days.
And secondly, on the economy, you were asked the other day about the expiration of the extended unemployment benefits. We know that black unemployment in this country is above 8%. It's above 7% in New York, Nevada, Illinois, California. With the expiration, how do you ensure that people in those places still get the support aid they need?
You're right, and Josh, it's vitally important to look at the fact that there are different circumstances in different states. So if we just take a step back and look at the national landscape on these benefits, in about half of all states, 24 governors have already made the decision to eliminate pandemic unemployment benefits. That's a choice they have made. In the remaining 26 states, unemployment levels vary pretty widely, from 3% to 7%. And half of these remaining states have unemployment rates that are already less than 5%. So there are differing needs in different states, and governors are making different decisions. What we're trying to do, and what we announced about 2 weeks ago, but obviously there was a lot of news going on, is our effort to put new tools in place to help states that choose to further extend pandemic unemployment benefits because of those needs, because they're states like those you have mentioned, or because they have higher rates of unemployment among African Americans or other groups that need additional assistance. So the Secretary of Treasury and the Secretary of Labor sent a letter to Chairman Wyden and Chairman Neal underscoring and affirming that states can use their allocations of the $350 billion
of
state and local.
I think this is obviously a completely different issue, which is the nature of the White House press briefings. I do want to go back to the president and his speech, I don't think is going to help him particularly. One of the points that Ross Douthat makes, which actually, frankly, makes the Obama, Trump, and Biden administrations all look pathetic, really pathetic, is that, and this is a point that was, actually, we were talking about this morning before we went on the show, is somehow when the Russians were driven out of Afghanistan, and they had a much larger occupying force at the time that they left, and their government that they had set up, the Moscow-backed government, and this is a point that Ross Douthat makes in his piece, he says, without Soviet troops, the Moscow-backed government actually held out for several years before the Mujahideen reached Kabul, whereas our $2 trillion built a regime that fell to the Taliban before American troops could even finish their retreat. What does that indicate? It indicates that somehow, and again, there is so much blame to go around. There's certainly blame for all of the last four administrations. For Bush, of course, who initiated the conflict and presided over its first 3 years, actually 3 years and a couple of months. And then Obama, who presided over it for 8 years. And then, of course, you have President Trump and President Biden. And the idea that during all this period we couldn't do better in terms of setting up, enabling a government and a military structure that actually lasted longer than the brutal Soviet occupation because you would think that, and that was true, they were fighting the Mujahideen, but there were factions that were still loyal to that Soviet-backed government. There weren't resistance. There wasn't resistance for this government, because I guess you could say the Taliban and their allied groups had gathered so much momentum. But here is Biden talking about the 6,000 additional troops he sent in, not to fight, but to help remove Americans and our friends. This is clip three.
As a result, to safely extract American citizens before August 31st, as well as embassy personnel, allies and partners, and those Afghans who had worked with us and fought alongside of us for 20 years, I had authorized 6,000 troops, American troops, to Kabul to help secure the airport. As General McKenzie said, this is the way the mission was designed. It was designed to operate under severe stress and attack, and that's what it did. Since March, we reached out 19 times to Americans in Afghanistan with multiple warnings and offers to help them leave Afghanistan, all the way back as far as March. After we started the evacuation 17 days ago, we did initial outreach and analysis and identified around 5,000 Americans who had decided earlier to stay in Afghanistan, but now wanted to leave. Our Operation Allied Rescue ended up getting more than 5,500 Americans out. We got out thousands of citizens and diplomats from those countries that went into Afghanistan with us to get bin Laden. We got out locally employed staff of the United States Embassy and their families, totaling roughly 2,500 people. We got thousands of Afghan translators and interpreters and others who supported the United States out as well. Now we believe that about 100 to 200 Americans remain in Afghanistan with some intention to leave. Most of those who remain are dual citizens, long-time residents, but early decided to stay.
Okay, more on that and what happens with those dual citizens and the figure that some 100,000 Afghans apparently have been airlifted. They don't even know exactly where they are going or where they are bound or which states or countries will shelter them. There's shock on the part of one piece of news coverage we'll get to coming up.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Ida made landfall in Louisiana as a hurricane, bringing lots of heavy rain and strong winds with it. Cajun Navy Relief President Colleen Udell explains how her organization is helping those impacted by the storm on America's Newsroom.
We've done water rescues and been working with Lafitte to help do wellness checks. Our partner organization, Brickmore Rescue, has been down there this morning. We may be sending a couple of boats their way. That is still up in the air. Our operations are switching to chainsaw operations this morning as well in the Luling area.
CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says those who aren't vaccinated shouldn't travel over the upcoming Labor Day weekend. She added individuals need to think about their own situation when deciding whether to travel. USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Poundy Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
One other section of Joe Biden's speech that occurred during one of the necessary breaks. And I think it's important because this is going to be very controversial. Just let me go back a little bit to some of what we've discussed before on the air, because this is directly relevant and an illustration of that. One of the reasons Joe Biden won the election is, and he did, but one of the reasons this guy ended up as our president is because he promised that he would try to work in a bipartisan manner. He was going to try to bring America together, that we would not have constant battles of Americans against Americans. Of course, he's failed completely in that. Completely. And yes, I know he got the Senate to pass, even though the House hasn't gone around to it yet, an infrastructure bill. But I'm talking about bringing Americans together so we can talk to each other like normal people. I mean, there's a story today about, in Georgia, a bunch of anti-vaxxers attacking a vaccine station and closing it down because people feared for their safety. I mean, I understand people can disagree about whether you want a vaccine for yourself. But if you're going to try to prevent other people who want to get vaccines from getting a vaccine, what the hell is going on in our country? How does anybody do that? What stake do you have? How does somebody who chooses to get a vaccine somehow threaten you so that you're going to protest and interfere with the doctors and the nurses and the people who are actually putting themselves on the front line on this issue? Now, I don't blame Biden entirely for that, but if your promise is to bring Americans together, then this is an indication you have failed, and it's an epic failure, and part of it was so predictable. I couldn't sleep thinking about this last night. Is the obvious thing to do would have been something that we talked about on the air, and it's so obvious. And it amazes me that nobody else has talked about it. Okay, this war in Afghanistan, it was initiated by President Bush. It was continued for 8 years by President Obama. And President Obama surged troops into Afghanistan to save the mission. He did. And then it continued for 4 years under President Trump, and now we're with President Biden. Okay, can you imagine how different the entire operation would have been? The entire business of winding down this war. If President Biden had met with his three predecessors, all of whom are very much alive and very much well, one of whom is thinking about running for president again, and saying, look, I think at this point we all agree. All of us. And I think they all do. Certainly Trump agrees with Biden that the war needs to be drawn to an end. It needs to be drawn on May 1st. So why not have all four presidents, two Republicans, two Democrats, get together and say the time has come? And the predecessors, Bush, Biden, and Trump, stand together with Joe Biden and talk about America's heroic effort and largely successful effort in terms of stopping Afghanistan as a base of operations, and saying that now we're going to work together to try to bring this war to a conclusion, make sure we bring all our forces home, and try to get some commitment out of the Afghans. At least bring up your predecessors in a unifying way. Because this should not be something that we're arguing about. Are we going to continue arguing about when we should have left Afghanistan, or how we should have left Afghanistan, or whether we should have left Afghanistan? How long are we going to continue arguing about that? And what happens if things do go wrong? And they could very well go very, very wrong. This is an appalling thing. And then instead of doing something like that, that helps to bring the country together, President Biden today actually seemed to be utterly determined to blame one of his predecessors. Which one do you think? Is he going to blame Obama? No. Is he going to blame Bush? No. Well, he's blaming Trump, of course. And this is what the president had to say. This is clip five.
Let me be clear. Leaving August the 31st is not due to an arbitrary deadline. It was designed to save American lives. My predecessor, the former president, signed an agreement with the Taliban to remove U.S. troops by May the 1st, just months after I was inaugurated. It included no requirement that the Taliban work out a cooperative governing arrangement with the Afghan government. But it did authorize the release of 5,000 prisoners, 1,000 last year, including some of the Taliban's top war commanders, among those who just took control of Afghanistan. And by the time I came to office, the Taliban was in its strongest military position since 2001, controlling or contesting nearly half of the country. The previous administration's agreement said that if we stuck to the May 1st deadline that they had signed on to leave by, the Taliban wouldn't attack any American forces. But if we stayed, all bets were off. So we were left with a simple decision. Either follow through on the commitment made by the last administration and leave Afghanistan, or say we weren't leaving and commit another tens of thousands more troops going back to war. That was the choice, the real choice, between leaving or escalating. I was not going to extend this forever war, and I was not extending a forever exit. The decision to end the military airlift operations at Kabul Airport was based on the unanimous recommendation of my civilian and military advisors, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and all the service chiefs and the commanders in the field. Their recommendation was that the safest way to secure the passage of the remaining Americans and others out of the country was not to continue with 6,000 troops on the ground in harm's way in Kabul, but rather to get them out through non-military means.
Okay, get them out through non-military means. And then there was President Biden's pledge. And it was a formal pledge, not from months ago, but from days ago, that we would not leave, that we would make sure that there are American citizens all cleared out. He said, quote, if there are American citizens left, we're going to stay until we get them out. He said that on August 19th. I mean, come on, that's August 19th, less than 2 weeks ago. And yet now we hear there are Americans who are left. And again, people are rightly worried. What if they're taken hostage? Because he says now we're going to get them out with non-military means. The entire problem with American foreign policy right now is we are basically putting the entire security of our country and the lives of some of our fellow citizens on the backs of a bunch of bearded, barefoot, medieval, religious, fanatic thugs and murderers named the Taliban. And the idea that it is a kinder, gentler Taliban, does anyone believe that? It's very important for people to listen carefully to this issue and the way people are talking about the issue of the people left behind, where it was promised, solemnly promised, they would not be left behind. So what now? We'll get to that and much more, and also the war on vaccines and over vaccines, coming up on the MedVet Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833, toll free, 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
One of the things that is extremely disturbing about the president's speech, and we have to move on to other subjects in a moment, I know that, but this is just an epic fail about an epic fail. And again, the train wreck of the Biden handling of this matter. I mean, a number of people have called on the president to resign. The president won't resign. We've never had a president resign except someone in the midst of a scandal involving illegal activity. And that illegal activity, Americans could understand, like a burglary, right? That was the Watergate. That's the only president who's ever resigned. We don't have a parliamentary system. Bret Stephens has said, and he's completely correct, that if this were a parliamentary system like India or Canada or Israel or Great Britain or any of those parliamentary countries, you call it a vote of no confidence. And I think you would find a majority of people, Republicans and Democrats, who would vote no confidence in Joe Biden. But since we don't have a vote of no confidence available, and since if we did, it would simply make Kamala Harris president, which is not an attractive prospect to anyone, it seems to me, or a reassuring one, this is not going to happen. But one of the reactions that's come in, it's very brief, and I think it speaks for a lot of people reliably, is from Ben Sasse, who again is a brilliant legislator and a great historian. And he says this, the member of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, he just issued this statement moments ago. U.S. Senator Sasse said, President Biden's unseemly victory lap was detached from reality. His callous indifference to the Americans he abandoned behind enemy lines is shameful. He promised the Taliban that our troops would leave by his arbitrary August 31st deadline. And he promised the American people that our troops would stay until every American was out. He kept his promise to the Taliban and lied to the American people. These lies will cost Americans for decades to come. Let us hope that he is wrong about that, but the impact on American foreign policy and any chance of this administration trying to unite America for necessary goals that we have to pursue, that has been gravely damaged. The This is the last part of the president's speech that I think that is important that we haven't played because of the breaks that we had to go to. Let's do clip four from President Joe Biden. Clip four, Jeremy.
The bottom line, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave. And for those remaining Americans, there is no deadline. We remain committed to get them out if they want to come out. Secretary of State Blinken is leading the continued diplomatic efforts to ensure safe passage for any American, Afghan partner, or foreign national who wants to leave Afghanistan. In fact, just yesterday, the United Nations Security Council passed a resolution that sent a clear message about the international community expects the Taliban to deliver on moving forward, notably freedom of travel, freedom to leave. And together, we are joined by over 100 countries that are determined to make sure the Taliban upholds those commitments. It will include ongoing efforts in Afghanistan to reopen the airport, as well as overland routes, allowing for continued departure to those who want to leave and deliver humanitarian assistance to the people of Afghanistan. The Taliban has made public commitments, broadcast on television and radio across Afghanistan.
Hooray.
On safe passage for anyone wanting to leave, including those who worked alongside Americans. We don't take them by their word alone, but by their actions. And we have leverage to make sure those commitments are met.
Okay, here's the question. And it's just so obvious, it's just sitting there like a fish on a plate. I don't know, it's sitting there right waiting to be asked. Okay, the rotting fish, yeah, because it is getting rotten. And I was actually going to use a more crude dog poop analogy. But here's the question. He says we have leverage to make them comply in the international community. The international community has always been opposed to stuff the Taliban did. The international community was opposed. What is that? The Taliban were determined, were told not to destroy the Buddhas of the Bamiyan Valley. They did that. They were told not to execute people in sports stadiums. I mean, the entire thing, the idea that the Taliban will pay attention to the international community. What a nonsensical supposition. And here's the point. He talks about the leverage we have. Do we have more leverage now that we have removed every single American troop? If it was a question of getting the Taliban to cooperate, then you do a quid pro quo. They want us to leave. We want this. They do something for us. We do something for them. This is the whole nature of it. But to leave and then say, now we have all kinds of international leverage, and they're talking about providing aid for them, why not do that? Why not make that assurance very clear before we withdraw all our military resources and give up Bagram Air Force Base and turn over, basically, or leave a great deal of this either ruined or partially ruined equipment? The Taliban were actually, they had a bunch of uniforms that they were putting on and parading around in, American uniforms. I mean, this entire thing, this is what Fox News's Jen Griffin said right before the president spoke about the statement that he made about the end of the Afghan war. This is clip 12. Listen.
First, let me say I was shocked. I was shocked that the president released a paper statement on the end of the Afghan war. He says he's going to speak to the nation tomorrow, but a paper statement, I find that very strange. I thought that the Secretary of State's statement, which was videotaped, and he was looking slightly off camera. I mean, it looked like a hostage video. It was not the kind of production values that you would expect for such a moment in time.
Okay, what's the idea of a hostage video? It's that you're being forced to say it, and they are words that are dictated to you. Is that the situation Anthony Blinken is in? I mean, really? Really? Do you remember this? This was just clip 11. Let's play it very quickly. This was August 19th, the infamous interview with George Stephanopoulos and the President of the United States. The President said this.
Americans should understand the troops should understand they have to be there beyond August 31st.
No, Americans should understand that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st.
But if we don't, the troops will
stay. If we don't, we'll determine at the time who's left.
And
if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
Okay, and today he certifies that there are 100 to 200 Americans who are left. And I do hope that they get them all out, because otherwise, if the Taliban wants something from us, they say, well, we'll release part of your American contingent and part of your American contingent. The idea that you increase leverage with the Taliban by giving them virtually everything they want, and now even offering the prospect of unconditional, and that appears to be the message, a new international recognition. This is a disaster. I do hope that some of the leadership in Congress, by the way, bipartisan leadership in Congress, includes some of the more reasonable and sane Democrats, but it has to be led by Republicans, an alternative policy, and really a demand for a more bipartisan attempt to try to repair the wreckage for the sake of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.